Linda. I don't know. All right, the title of our message today, if you want to share that with the kids downstairs, is God's Appointed Time. We're going to talk about God's appointed time. In other words, everything is in His timing, in His time frame. And we're going to discuss a little bit about that. Yesterday afternoon, I get a call from Dennis. It was hard to hear him. Where's Pam? She'll testify to that. He lost his voice completely. So in God's timing, Dennis calls me and he says, "Dave, I need you to do the message tomorrow." I'm going, "You got to be kidding me." It takes 3 weeks to prepare for just the first sentence. So today's message will be totally reliant upon the Lord, upon the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Okay? And so the only announcement we have is that tomorrow night, Linda, I think we have a meeting here, correct? At 6:30. I think that's the only announcement that we have. Frank?
We have youth this Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, youth group, okay. So, youths, you're you're at 7 o'clock.
So I just wanted to let everybody know that Mrs. Monk passed away last week. And we just want to thank you all for your prayers and your support.
Lord Jesus, bless that man. Bless that family.
You know, she was a member of her same church for 60 years. She served as missions. She served as I also. And I'm so thankful that that's how she raised her daughter.
Wow, that's a testimony.
We put her to rest at the services at the same church that Lisa had grown up in all of her life. Mm-hmm. So it was a beautiful service, and I thank you guys again.
How old was she?
She was
86. Lord bless her. So, the one thing about Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and when I have completed that, I will come to you, and I will receive you unto myself." When the children of the Lord pass away, when we move out of this body, I believe with all sincerity that the Holy Spirit, the Lord makes himself visible to that spirit, to our soul. And I think there's evidence in the Bible that kind of leads in that direction, but that's something that you guys can look at as we go through. But praise God for that. I mean, she knew the Lord. She walked out of this broken down body into eternity of with the Lord, which nothing can compare with that. So thank you for sharing that. So today's message, we're going to talk about God's timing. So just kind of bear with me here. Again, last minute notification from my brother Dennis. So God's appointed time. Oh yeah, I gotta dismiss the kids. Oh, you got something? Yes. Oh, it is. Get up here. Okay.
Your name?
Nixon. I had to ask.
Getting taller than you.
Everybody's taller than me. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to Nixon. God bless him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nixon. Happy birthday to you. And the Lord anoint you. You're welcome, Nixon. God bless. Okay, we're good?
We're
good. Kids are dismissed. Okay, title of this message we're going to talk about today is At the Appointed Time, God's Timing. God's timing is precise. It's exact. There's nothing in the universe that isn't designed and precisely timed for His glory, for His pleasure, for His purpose. So as we begin our study, I want to remind you of Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11 talks about the Bereans, and Pastor Bill has spoken about that several times, about being a good steward. In other words, when you hear things from the pulpit, always check those things to see if they are of the Lord. In other words, they search the scriptures daily, not weekly, not monthly, not annually. They search the scriptures daily to see if those things that they are being told were correct. And that's what we should be doing, searching the scriptures. Whenever anyone gets up here and shares the word of God, I can tell you from experience, and I don't do this often, but it's a conversation that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is having with me. It's me that the Holy Spirit is speaking to. And you're privy to this conversation. So that being the case, search the scriptures to see if these issues apply to you. Okay? Secondly, in 2 Timothy, and you may want to take a pencil and paper because we're going to be spouting scriptures here for a little bit. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is profitable. Profitable for what? Profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction. In other words, it's our guidepost. It's the map of life that God has given us. He said, this is how you can live a prosperous, healthy, blessed life. It doesn't mean we're always going to have the good things in life, but there are times when we're going to have issues that we're struggling with. But God's word is the guide rails. He keeps us on track, okay? And then, finally, and this is more important, I think, today than it has ever been, and that is 1 John 4:1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, there's a lot of voices going throughout the world, a lot of different denominations, and I'm not throwing anyone under the bus on this, but a lot of different directions people are going against God's word. They're saying, well, that was okay for that time period that they had this discipline, this rule in the church. But in today's world, we have to be more contemporary. We have to be more in tune with the social lives of people in today's world. So they're getting away from the word of God and they're going in their own direction. So try those spirits. When you hear something from the pulpit, don't take it for gospel. Understand, Lord, is this for me? Is this the way you want us to go? And search the scriptures to see if they be of God. So today we're going to talk about the appointed time. Time is kind of interesting because science right now is they're arguing between whether it's a physical property or if it's a non-physical property. A physical property is something like something tangible, okay? Is time tangible? Can it be redirected? Can it be changed? And the answer is actually yes, it can be. They're discovering that. It's quite interesting. So if you get time to get into that science, that's really important. So God set time in motion when he created the universe. When he created it, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. So God set the clock right there. The cosmic clock was initiated, engaged at that moment in time. In the beginning, God. He created the heavens and the earth and on and on. Day one, he created light and dark, darkness. And God called the light good. Okay, that was day one. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Day two, he created the firmament. He divided the waters from below to from the waters above. So apparently, and I don't understand this, none of us were there before during the creation, but the firmament is soil, is basically what we're standing on right now, terra firma. So the waters below and the waters above, he created the firmament between the two. Interesting about day two, and you can look this up and chase this little rabbit later on, but interesting about day two, that's the only day that God did not bless. Did you know that? All the other days he blessed. Day two, Monday, God didn't say it was good. So you think man has a bad day on Monday. Well, God started it. Okay? So day two, the firmament. Day three is when the earth came to life. Jesus says, I am the life, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. The earth came to life on day three. And God, they bring forth all plant life to support all the living creatures that were created. So God created the grass, the trees, all the fruits, everything that he spoke into existence to support. In other words, to set this satellite, to set this spaceship in play. So he had to create life. He had to create the food source. He had to create the life source so that when he institute, when he brings the animals in, guess what? All in us, we have life and we eat from what God has planted on the earth. Day three, life came to earth before the creatures were created. Day four, lights in the heavens. Day four is kind of an interesting one for me. That's Genesis 1:14. Day four, God put the lights in the heavens, okay? Stars in the heavens. He put them there for four reasons, really kind of crazy. Number one, and the first reason was signs. That always fascinated me. Signs, what kind of signs are we talking about? Seasons, days, and years. I understand seasons, look around. I understand days, and I understand years. But the signs, what are the signs that God put up there? Okay, there's a fascinating, and I think we did in our little Bible study with our videos and what have you, it's a fascinating research looking at the word signs. In Hebrew, the word signs is oat. Okay, it starts A, I think it's A-O-T or something like that. It's kind of an odd way to pronounce it, but we've discussed before that the Hebrew alphabet has pictographs associated with it. And that three-letter word for signs in Hebrew, the pictures are really interesting because the first picture of the first letter is God. The second picture, the middle letter, is nail. And the third letter is cross. Think about that one, okay? So the Hebrew language is a very rich language, very powerful language, and the pictographs that are associated with that are really eye-opening. So day five, by the way, he created, on day four, he created two great lights, the greater one to rule by day and the lesser one to rule by night, and we know what that is. And last night there was a full moon, which was absolutely spectacular, brilliant, and it's like, wow, Lord. And if a person can't look up into that night sky and see God's hand, his creation, his timing, man, I feel so bad for them because it's so awesome. It's so powerful that it literally, in my mind, in my heart, pulls the air completely out of my lungs and I just go, wow, Lord, what can I say? So the lesser light to rule by night. Day five, all living creatures were formed, every possible creature, whether past or present. Day six, of course, he created man. And man, two things happened when he created Adam, and then we're fast-forwarding through Genesis a little bit because we're talking about God's timing. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. Our clock, and when we changed everything around, now we go by morning and evening, but in the Hebrew, it's evening and morning. Evening is when the next day starts. So at 6 o'clock tonight, it's Monday morning. Okay. So man, there was two things that God that happened, which is kind of interesting when you look at the sentence structure there. He said, God created man in his own image. When he said, let us create man in our image, okay, we're not created in the image of angels, we're creating in the image of God. So he was talking to the Trinity. He was talking to, let us make man in our image. Elohim is, by the way, at the beginning, says, in the beginning, God, that word is Elohim, which is a compound unity, meaning that more than one is a triune God. So he created man in his image. And then it says, God breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. He breathed into his nostrils life. And then it says, and, at addition, man became a living soul. That second part was given to all mankind. We have an eternal soul. God's timing is perfect. He put it all together. He formed all of this in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. So the time began when the Lord started speaking things into existence. That's when our time began, in his timing. So he did it precisely day. Each day was a clock, the cosmic clock that God created. All right. The Lord rebuke you there, Mr. Electric. So, each event throughout history has been God's appointed time, okay? Throughout the Bible, the events and dates were specific to his plan, specific to God's plan to create a nation for the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, to step out of eternity, become a man, to redeem man at the appointed time. In the Gospels, we read Jesus saying a couple of times, my time has not yet come, my time has not yet come. But that the evening when he was arrested, now the time is here. It is time for me to go. It is time for me to do this. So everything is in God's precise timing. And this applies to us on a daily basis. the ticking of God's cosmic clock. Back up for a second. God's timing is perfect, but man's timing isn't. We want everything right now. We live in an instant society. All I have to do is press a key on my keyboard, and my house is sold. Press a key on my keyboard, and I can buy groceries, or I can, listen to me. Whatever I need, it's instantaneous, okay? I'm not going to wait. We don't want to wait. We want everything right now. So, in ancient times, when God was creating a nation for the nation Israel, he called Abraham. He called Abram. It was Abram, A-B-R-A-M, at the time. God had not changed Abraham's name to Abram's name to Abraham yet, but he called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. So in God's timing, he knew exactly who he was going to call out to be the father of a great nation. So Abram believes God, and God tells Abram, you go to a place that I'm going to show you. Abram had no idea where he was going. God showed him as he went on this journey. We don't know our end. We don't know where we're going to go as far as a year down the road, tomorrow, or 10 years down the road. We don't know where we're going. We're going, but God knows where we're going. His timing is perfect, and that timing will be at the appointed time. Okay. So Abram, the ticking of God's clock eventually called Abram to be a father of a great nation, and the Lord even made his first appearance in Scripture to Abram. Okay. In chapter 15:5 is kind of interesting, because then the word of the Lord, God promised Abram and Sarah in chapter 15. I'm fast forwarding through this because I want to show you the weakness of man. Even Abram and Abraham, he struggled with the same things that we did, that we do daily. And that is the timing of God, his appointed time. We struggle with that. So in chapter 15, God promises a child through Abram and Sarah. God's timing, again, is not ours. And he says, in thy seed, and you can chase this one down, write down Galatians 3:16, because the seed that God is speaking to Abram about is the Messiah, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy seed. In other words, back in the garden, when Eve sinned and God's pronouncing the curse upon Satan, and he says, and the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. That seed was God, the seed of God, stepping out of eternity and coming down into mankind. And then he was going to be all the way down through the generations to the time he was born to Mary. Fascinating. So, God, it was 11 years past from the time that God had spoken to Abram and said, you will have a child. 11 years. I have a question for you. When we pray, we have expectations of God answering immediately. We have expectations of him answering within time. Expectations, believe it or not, are pre-planned resentments. Think about that one. When I have expectations of something turning out a certain way, I'm already, when it doesn't happen, it's a pre-planned resentment. So the expectations that Abram trusted God. He left and obeyed God and got away from the Ur of the Chaldees, and he's going to a place now where God is strengthening him in his walk and his substance all the way through before he brings Isaac, the promised seed, on. God is strengthening Abraham. So God didn't answer Abraham. So Abraham, 11 years later, Abraham's going, okay. And we all do the same thing. Wow, man, maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I'm not reading my Bible enough. Maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe, Lord, is there sin in my life that I should be looking at? But the reality is, folks, it's in God's timing, not Dave Conley's timing, not our timing. Lord, I am at your feet. Your will be done. And, it's all in his timing. Everything from the beginning of creation to the new heaven and the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, all of it is perfectly laid out date by date, and it's perfectly balanced to his will, promise. Kind of lost my thought there. So God didn't, 11 years went by. Abraham now is 86, okay? And Sarah has he listens to Sarai, and they have a child of the flesh, which was Ishmael, okay? So It was not God's appointed time. That was not the seed that God had promised Abram. The seed that he promised Abraham was the seed of the Spirit. In other words, the promise seed. Okay, Christ was promised to us before the foundations of the earth were created. He was promised to us. So 11 years went by. They had a child through Hagar, Sarai's handmaid. And again, I believe that when Abram went along, 11 years, think about that. When was the last time you had a prayer answered that in that length of time? Now, some families pray for their children all the days of their life. And we wonder, is that child ever going to come to the Lord? Lord, please open his eyes, open her eyes. Let her see your majesty. Let her see your love, your salvation, your great and exceeding mercy and grace upon that person. And yet, they continue to go down a path away from the Lord. But it's God's timing, not ours. And the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L, circle that, capitalize that, put parentheses on it, you know, quotes, all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it's God's will. So it's in his timing, okay? Now, we do have the choice, like Abraham did. We can circumvent that, say, nah, it's not for me. Okay, I don't want to be under that rules and regulations of, you know, some church telling me I can't do this, can't do that. See, that's a whole misunderstanding that the enemy goes and gets us sideways and goes, surely God hasn't said you're saved by grace. Surely it's about you. Surely you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to wear, you know, certain clothing. you need to act a certain way. Nope, not at all. It's in his timing, and we sit at his feet. So Abram, finally, when all hope is lost, and this happens to us a lot too, to me. I just finished a week-long meeting at corporate, and I can tell you, it is extremely stressful. And it's stressful because, again, expectations aren't always met, and you know, one never knows what's going to happen. But I will tell you this: the night before my presentations, I pray, Lord, you got to help me with this. I can't do this. Just like this message here, I can't do this. This is not me. And I remember one year, he goes, I heard this voice in my heart. He says, Dave, you're gonna knock it out of the park. And I'm not kidding you, I got up and I did my presentation in front of corporate and knocked it out of the park. And I went back to my hotel and tears came to my eyes. Lord, thank you. I didn't expect that. So anyway, getting back to, Abraham was 99 years old, so all hope was gone for Sarah. I mean, she's like 89 years old. Abraham's 99. And God appeared to, he goes back to Abraham and goes, okay, Abraham, at the appointed time, I will come back and Sarah will get, I will give her the ability to have a child 1 year from now. Again, God's timing was perfect. Why did he wait so long to give Abraham and Sarah that the child? Why did he wait until they were, because all hope was lost. All hope was gone. There was nothing else. Abraham had to depend upon God totally. He didn't understand that, okay? He tried it on his own, and it didn't work. We try on our own, and it doesn't work. But then we lay our burdens down at his feet. Lord, I belong to you. So when we do that, then the Holy Spirit begins to move. And he moved, and a year later, Sarah gets pregnant. She comes back, her reproductive organs, everything comes back to life, because they were biologically way over the hill. Okay, no more niños and niñas. Okay, by the way, that's boys and girls, sons and daughters. So it was the set time that God will return to Sarah, 90 years old, the ability to have children. That's in Genesis 18:14. So we're talking about God's appointed time. So 25 years, it was a total of 25 years from the time that God told Abram that he was going to have a son, and his seed would be the seed, all families of the earth would be blessed, to the time it actually happened. So during that period, Abraham went through he went through different lands. He weathered you know, a lack of food, okay, the famines, and he sojourned into different parts of the country. So God was strengthening him. In our trials, I don't like trials. I'm going to tell you straight up. I'm a big baby, crybaby. My wife, you're listening? Go ahead, talk to me. No, I don't like trials, but those trials strengthen us. When we go through deep waters, God says, they will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned, okay? Those are tough to go through. I get it. But you know what? When I set my focus on the Lord himself, Lord, I'm at your feet. If this is your will, so be it. Because his timing is perfect. At the appointed time, he came back to Abraham and Sarah, because now they were strengthened. Now they understood. Now they began, Abraham knew that God's plan was intact, and Abraham was in safe hands, just like we do. So God's appointed time, that's on the fleshlight, but there's also appointed times in what's called covenants, okay? And we discovered a little bit of that with Jay when he was here. Doing the Passover, which, by the way, the Pesach, he's going to do that again this year. So those of you who are interested in seeing how the Lord Jesus ties in with Passover, it is very moving. It's very powerful. It's very prophetic. The Passover is very prophetic. When the when God told him to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the door, around the doorpost on, and over the top, God passed by that home. He didn't look inside and see that there was a broken Dave Conley. He didn't look inside and see there was a sinful person in there, or there was a person in there that needed to. He didn't look inside that. His grace and his mercy passed on by and saved them, just like he does us. So covenant times, got too many books up here. And I'm going to just run briefly go through these because I want to make sure we're on time here. The first one is Shabbat. We know what Shabbat is. Shabbat in the Hebrew, in the Jewish culture, obviously is Sabbath. Shabbat means it's the Sabbath, it's the day of rest. Okay, Jesus says, "I came to give you rest." Basically, that's what we do. We rest in Him. Okay, so it's the Sabbath. God said to keep it holy, to keep it separate. So when you work 5 days a week or whatever it is, okay, on the seventh day, it's a day of rest. So that's when Ruth does the lawn and I sleep. And just kidding, babe. Anyway, so in Leviticus 23, that's the seventh day of rest. The Lord in Matthew 12:8, and Hebrews 4:9, Jesus says, He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the rest. He is the God of our rest. He is the one that gives us that rest. Pesach, we talked a little bit about that just a second ago. Leviticus 23, verses 4 and 5, it's the 14th day of the month, Nisan, and the Lamb of God setting us apart as His children. When He paid the price for Dave Conley, we and you are set aside. You are protected. You are in His hand in His appointed times. The other one is Chag Matzah, which is in Hebrew, that means the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That happens, that's actually from the 15th to the 22nd day of the first month. And then Jesus said how it applies to Him, He is the bread of life. These are covenant appointed times that God put in place. These are actual dates, actual times that God said, you will celebrate these on this date. These are holy. These are holy congregation. These are holy unto the Lord. Okay? Day of First Fruit, Yom HaBakurim, I can't pronounce that. Exodus 23:16, which follows Passover. Shavuot, which is a feast of weeks, the first day of Yom Kippur, which is Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Remember in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down and anointed those who put their trust in Yeshua, put their trust and faith in Mashiach. Shavuot. The first day of the week, Yom Tuor, which is Day of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, Judgment Day. Again, God's appointed time, exact dates, okay? Yom Kippur, the 10th day of the 7th month, Tishri, which is the future restoration of Israel. Okay. These are appointed times that God put together. Sukkot, which is Feast of Tabernacles, which follows to John, 1st chapter, verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt means tabernacled among us. And when we follow with the Lord Jesus all the way back through the Old Testament, and we see the tabernacle in the wilderness, that was a vision, if you would, or an analogy of the Lord Jesus Christ walking among his people, stepping out of eternity, being born as a man, as a baby, and then dying in our place to gather us, like a mother hen gathers her chicks. So then, head of the month, a new moon is the last one we'll talk about there. But just as God set the cosmic clock precisely in sync with his plan of salvation for all mankind, man's time and God's appointed times in many cases obviously are not allowed. And time is kind of interesting, as we started off here. Time for man is sort of a millstone hanging around our neck, okay? I don't know about you, but I used to have hair, and I was 30 pounds lighter, and, you know, in my 20s, and, you know, all of a sudden I look in the mirror, and I'm just like, whoa, what happened there? So I had to do one lecture for a group, kind of getting off track here. I had to do a little bit of a training session for my guys down in El Paso, and I started off, I said, hey, you know what happened last night? I said, I got scared to death. I got up at 3 o'clock this morning and had to go to the restroom, and I went in the restroom in the hotel room. Scared me to death. I had to call security. And they go, what? I said, yeah, I had to call security. There was some old guy staring at me in the mirror, and I'm going, who in the world is that? So it's like a millstone around our neck. Time is it's actually a monitor or taskmaster. I mean, we measure things in time. We measure miles per hour. I mean, when we're driving. In my industry, we measure a cubic feet per minute or gallons per minute. Or we measure, there's everything is measured in with the common denominator of time, okay? Time to get up, time to go to bed, time to pay the bills, time to take meds. The list is endless, okay? We have strapped this taskmaster to our wrist, okay, and hung them on our walls, okay? We put them in our cars. We put them on our nightstands. We are slaves to time because we have a finite amount of time on this earth. God's time is not our time, okay? His time is perfectly laid out. We are mimicking, in a sense, what God has done, in that we lay our time out too. But then we become strapped with that. We become under that weight of that time. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been so late, trust me, a little over, just maybe 5 over, sometimes 10, maybe 20. Okay. But, and we live in an instant society, and it's difficult. It's a difficult hurdle to overcome, waiting on the Lord to answer our prayers. And keep in mind, Abraham waited 25 years. So when God doesn't answer immediately, it isn't that he is silent. It's that his timing is perfect. Okay? All right. I want to go to Ecclesiastes. Grab your Bibles. Go to Ecclesiastes 3. Okay? And if you want to know where that is, it's actually right after Proverbs. Go to Ecclesiastes 3, and this is where our lesson is today. Solomon. The word Ecclesiastes in Hebrew, by the way, means pastor, okay? Well, I'm not a pastor. God's word is the pastor, okay? This is Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, okay? And in there, in that third chapter, we're going to go through verses 1 through 8 real quick. Right? So in that chapter, we're talking again about God's timing, his perfect time. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath that? Okay, I want to just, from that point on, I want to drop down to verse 11. Okay? He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, the second part of that verse, also he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. Going through those various times, there's a lot of commonality there. Number one, a time to be born and a time to die. Life is not guaranteed. We are not going to live in these bodies forever. Praise God for that. Okay? I know that's difficult, especially when you lose a loved one. Because I'm going to, straight up, man, we've lost, you know, my sister, the first one in our family, because we come from a large family, very poor. And my sister was 26 years old when she was killed. That was one of the hardest things in the world to go through right out the gate. But that was right after we first came to the Lord. God was strengthening us through that whole time. So a time to be born and a time to die. Notice the contrast between each one of these, okay? You've got the plus and you've got the negative. You've got the plus, you've got the negative. It's a contrast. So it's an experience. It's a process, okay? It's a process that we're going through. The second part of that verse, in verse 2, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And the fruit of our labor is not guaranteed. We all have jobs, okay? And sometimes those jobs really pay off and sometimes they don't. And I can attest because my team, we sell stuff and we work our tails off to get, you know, to be a value to the client. And many times we are not successful. So it's not guaranteed. So there is a time to plant and a time to pluck up. A time to kill and a time to heal. So appointed times for all relationships. Sometimes relationships go awry. We have no control in many cases over that, and sometimes we do. So there's that time. A time to break down and a time to build up. And again, this has to do, in my opinion, with careers, with life, with the things that we do. And by the way, the plant time to pluck up, Pam knows that because she's our green thumb in the house. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and time to gather the stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. First part of verse 6 says a time to gain and a time to lose. I can tell you, people that do the stock market or investments or whatever, there's no guarantee that things are going to grow. I mean, we try to make the best guess we can, to try to support our families and what have you, but sometimes we make the wrong choice. A time to keep away, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Oh, Lord, don't go into my office because that scripture doesn't apply to me because there's stuff all over the place. Okay. A time to rent and a time to keep silent. A time to rent and a time to sow. So there's a time to tear it up, and there's a time to repair it. Time to keep silence and time to speak. There are times when we have to keep silent. Be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. My wife bought me in this cup. That's what it says in there, because she knows I whine a lot. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, and that I have to say that every time I drink that cup. From that cup, that scripture stares right at my face. Okay, so it's a reminder that it's God's appointed time, David, not yours, not your work, not your health. It's His. A time to keep silence. Time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So, all of those. That Solomon wrote as actually life, okay? That's about life. It encompasses all of life itself, all of the everything that we all go through. It encompasses all of that behavior, all of those ideas, the good and the bad. So why is that there? Because those strengthen us, believe it or not, and I don't like to say this, but it's true. They strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. Because when the times are bad, when the times are rough, I go to Him, Lord, help me. But when times are good, sometimes I get a little lazy and I don't go to Him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that there's a time of peace. Thank you that there's a time of war, because now, you know, I need to fight battles. And these battles that we fight many times are spiritual battles, okay? And that's what Paul talks about. We're in a spiritual battle. We fight not against principalities and you know, people in high places, flesh and blood. We fight against principalities. And got that mixed up, but you got the gist. Anyway, so they all have, what do all these contrasts have in common? Number one, they are appointed times ordained by God. Every one of us live life, and every one of us go through similar situations, issues we struggle with, okay? But they're appointed by God, and they're appointed by Him for one reason and one reason only, and that's to strengthen us in our walk with Him. That's what they're there for, okay? At the time, I don't see that being the purpose. At the time, I think, oh, God, what are you picking on me for? Go pick on Jason. So, secondly, and actually just touch base, they are designed to make God's children strong in Him. Abraham, he didn't have an easy task going from Haran to the promised land. Isaac. He didn't have an easy task because there were battles. Lot got kidnapped. The kings got in a fight. Abraham had to go out there. He went through famines. He had to go to Egypt. He had to go here to get food for his family. He had flocks, and he grew. God was strengthening him because He knew that Isaac was going to be born. And Isaac, okay, is, we get into Genesis, we'll study about that, but Isaac, or Isaac, he was a type of Christ. And when we see that God asked Abraham to offer up his son, his only son, now Abraham didn't have, that wasn't his only son, but there's a whole story behind that, that God was teaching us about Isaac and Christ being similar to that. We can talk about that another time. So God was strengthening Abraham. That's why He brought him through the trials. That's why He brings us through the trials. Okay? Each negative is an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord. And you know that, and I know that. When things, how many times have you seen people when they get in trouble, God, help me, oh God, this can't be happening. Okay? That's the first thing we do. Off we go. Okay? We go to Him. Okay? So His timing is perfect. Oh, I got your attention, David. Good, good. Now come up here and let me show you what I'm going to do. Okay? All right. Again, no one knows the mind of God, the Bible says in Isaiah, no one knows the mind of God. His ways are not our ways. His timing are not our timing. Finally, all these are designed by God in verse 11. They're all designed by Him to make everything beautiful. You are beautiful in the eyes of the Creator of the universe, more than you could possibly know. And when we realize that, when we get a grasp on that, we grow closer to Him. And when we grow closer to Him, we begin to see more of Him, and we begin to mimic Him. The best form of a compliment is when someone mimics you, when someone copies what you do. That's a good compliment, okay? So when we walk with Him, that's where it's at. So in conclusion, everything today works against us, waiting on God in His appointed time. One writer wrote, which I got on, looked at this, I thought it was pretty cool. There is a pattern to the life of faith that often follows a sequence of promise, excitement, waiting, doubting, testing, refining, reinforcement, and then eventual fulfillment. That's where we're at today. So the conclusion, the God's mercy, abundant mercy, Romans 5:3. You can either write that down or you can flip over to it and read it. Hope in God's anticipated action. Okay? Hope in His action. Know that He has you in mind. Know that He has, the Bible says, all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord and are called accordingly. You're called. We are all called. All things. I don't like that, because there's things I'm going, oh no, there's no way, man, that this could be the mean that, yes, I'm in control, David. I love you with everlasting love, and no one can separate you from my love, and I have your best interest in mind. That's okay, Lord. I can handle that, okay? surrendered to God's perfect purposes, Hebrews 35, 36. And then, of course, repeating, surrender to God's perfect purposes, or all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord. God's timing is perfect. At the appointed time, He's got milestones set in our lives. And those milestones are to strengthen us in our walk with Him, to reveal Himself to us in a more intimate way, a more powerful way, something that we as human beings cannot even begin to fathom and understand. So in His name, God bless you guys. Let's pray. Lord, I have no idea what I just said. So Lord, we are Your people. You make our ears, You make our thoughts, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You be with each and every one this week. Lord, anoint us to hear Your words, to hear, understand Your purpose, our purpose for You, Lord. Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your word. And ask You to be with Bill and Dennis and those who can't make it today. Lord, I just pray that You watch over them and just touch everyone here with a special anointing of Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen.
God is so good.